a few ideas that are very, very relevant for Kabbalah Satira. And I think that you all agree with me that there's certain preconceptions, certain ideas we have in our head that sort of come to us every Shavuos and in some way hold us back from being a Kabbalah Satira the way we're supposed to. And I want to work primarily with Megillas Rus to try and debug us, you know, to get the virus out of us and to appreciate really what Kabbalah Satira is all about. With Limudim, we learn primarily from Megillas Rus, which is always read on Shavuos before Kabbalah Satira. The five misconceptions, and I'll read them out all to you at the beginning now, and then we can see as you can work through them. Number one, Shavuos is commemorating and celebrating a unique historic event. Number one, yeah, Shavuos, we are commemorating and celebrating a unique historic event. That's one misconception of Shavuos. Secondly, Kabbalah Satira is all about sacrificing our desires and urges in order for Kabbalah Satira, for Kabbalah Satira Mitzvahs. We're sacrificing our desires and urges for Rabbeinu Shleilam. That is Kabbalah Satira. That's misconception number two. Number three, even if we actually felt enriched by the fact that we are mechai to do mitzvah ben odom lemokoim, between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but between us and our fellow people, ben odom lechaveiro, certainly we're giving up of ourselves in order to mechayim those mitzvahs. In other words, Kabbalah Satira is very nice, and between me and Hashem I feel very special, I feel very uplifted and very elevated when I'm putting on tefillin and shaking a lulav. But when somebody's asking for my help, when I am, you know, when I am waking up in the middle of the night to tend to my baby who has colic or teething, then I'm actually sacrificing and I'm giving to that child. That's number three. Then Ben Amlach very certainly sacrificing.
That
we're certainly sacrificing when we're giving over to somebody else. Okay, we're giving up of ourselves for on the mock. Number four, Kabbalah Satira is all about making substantial changes to revolutionize the world we live in, to make sure that we impact the world in a way that is absolutely so changing that we actually that there's a ripple effect that's going to change the whole world. And you have to actually see that. That's Kabbalah Satira, is making a revolution, making the world change, making the world a better place for everyone to see it. That is Kabbalah Satira. That is a real Kabbalah Satira. And the fifth, Kabbalah Satira is very much for the elitists in Klal Yisrael, for those who made a chachamim, those tzaddikim, those people who have yichus, those people who are great leaders, those people who have tremendous knowledge in Torah, those people who have tremendous levels of Yerush Shemayim. Shavuos is their day of celebration. It's not really necessarily for the individual, not necessarily for, you know, we schlep along and we celebrate with them, but it's not really very much the celebration of those people on the Hamoinam. Those are five ideas we have of Shavuos. Let's go back to the first one. The first one is that Shavuos is a historical event. It's a unique event in history that plays itself out again, that we're reminded about year after year. There is a fascinating Ramah. The Ramah says in Siman Top Samach Ches. The Ramah says like this. V'nagu shloi lahakiz dam b'shum erev yontuv v'ein l'shamish. It is a minhag not to let blood on any erev yontuv and must not change from the minhag. That's what he brings. It's personally be a way of being healthy, of letting blood. Shum erev yontuv, any erev yontuv, erev sukkah, erev pesach, erev shavuos, for sure you don't do it. So he brings over here in Mishabura. Why? The be'er shavuos yotzer shade. The Shemoy Tavoyach, because the Erev Shavuos, a shade went out, his name is Tavoyach. Tavoyach doesn't sound very friendly. Tivayach means the slaughterer, right? The ilu like kiblu Yisrael es haTorah, and were Klal Yisrael not to accept the Torah, have a tovach luhu lebisrayu uledemayu, who had just chopped them up to meat and blood. The gozu rabon and hakol erev yontu mishum erev shavus, and therefore every erev yontu we don't do hakol zasdam, we don't let blood because of erev shavus. Ushrepin shekorin bankus, ever heard bankus? Toita bankus. Bankus are leeches. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where you connect to the skin. Or you kapzetzen is you take suction pads and you take from the skin. Yesh matirin milvad hoshanam shivyam adin. Some people allow that on Hashanah Rabbah. But al koponim be'ereshvus yesh ha'achmir. On ereshvus you shouldn't do it. Now, why is that? So it says very clearly, why do you not do this suction? Meredik. Why don't you do it? Because in ereshvus, you don't do it. Why? Because in the time of Kabbalah HaTorah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Kitzalus of the Torah, and he said, take it, you know, I suggest you take it, and they would recover it. Were they not to accept it, what would have happened to them? They would be wiped out by the Sheid called Tavoyach. Okay? And therefore, in year 2009, thousands of years after Kabbalah HaTorah, we still don't do bloodletting on Erev Pesach, on Erev Shavuos. What's the kesha? We've accepted the Torah. We've accepted the Torah. The Maaseh Klal Yisrael have accepted the Torah. If the Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah, what are you worried about? This Sheid called Tavoyach. We're not worried about him. Then, there's a danger that if we weaken, then Tavoyach would overcome us and he'll murder us. But we accepted the Torah all the thousand years back. So what are you worried about today? So many of the Achronim say it's to remind us of what happened then. But it's not, because this is a practical halacha. This is a practical halacha. We're in danger today because of what happened then. Why? Says the Ravon, one of the Rishonim, says the Ravon, the reason why you don't do it today is because today, on Erev Shavuos, it's a danger. What a danger? Just like by Kabbalah HaTorah, Klal Yisrael were in danger of being wiped out by the Sheikh called Tavoyach if they were not to receive the Torah. Today, Erev Shavuos, every single year, we're in exactly the same position. That if we receive the Torah, we'll be okay, and if we don't, we can be wiped out by the Sheid called Tavoyach. And therefore, don't weaken yourself, because you could be wiped out in a weakened state by the Sheid called Tavoyach. Therefore, Shavuos is not some commemoration, some historical anniversary or something that happened. Shavuos, Erev Shavuos, according to this halacha, this is not hashkofa, this is a halacha. Halacha tells me that, by the way, you're in danger because you're making a new Kabbalah HaTorah every single year. We're not commemorating an event that happened. We are actually going through that same event every single year. And therefore, on Shavuos, it's the first idea. It's a misconception that we're just commemorating Kabbalah HaTorah. We're not. We're actually undergoing our own Kabbalah HaTorah every year, and therefore that's a chashash. If we don't do it correctly, we can be wiped out by the Sheikul Tavoyach. And therefore, it's not, you know, it's not a little, you know, historical, you know, gee, we kept the Torah. No, every year we're going through a new Kabbalah HaTorah.
So when if we're physically weakened by bloodletting, then we're more susceptible to...
It's a mokum sakona. It's a kotum sotum akatu b'shata sakona. We're in a weakened state, and therefore Tavoyach can overcome us, and easier than we could if we were in a healthy way.
And the other Yom Tovim?
Just remind us of Shavuos. Adi Yom Tovim are gezeira because of Shavuos. Like, we shouldn't start getting used to bloodletting on Erev Yom Tov in case we do an Erev Shavuos, and Erev Shavuos is a real danger. Okay, so that's number one. Misconception number one gone. Okay. By the way, all these five misconceptions are going to be disproven. They're going to be diffused, and you're going to see that each one of these five different reasons and misconceptions actually are brought down in the five timing why you read Megillas Ruth on Erev Pesach, and each one fits in perfectly. Okay? That's number one. Number two, misconception number two is that in certain sacrifice, when Kabbalah HaTorah, we're sacrificing, we're going to Kabbalah HaTorah and saying, Rebbeinu Shleilom, we are Vodim, who are we? We're giving over ourselves to Rebbeinu Shleilom. That is a second misconception. Why is that misconception? So if you look in the Megillas Ruth, a quick background. We have here two daughters of Egloin. Egloin was the king of Moab. Egloin is the king of Moab. We'll come back to him later. The king of Moab, a very, very, in his level, He was a chosh of a person. And he was the king of Moav. He hassled Klal Yisrael. Eventually he was killed by one of the generals of Klal Yisrael, by Farak. And he was killed. And it's brought down exactly... Later we'll go back to this. And eventually they married Be'issa. Machlon and Kilyon. Machlon and Kilyon were two sons of Elimelech. Elimelech was Godlador. Elimelech was the wealthiest person, as wealthy as Pari, as Achashverosh should bring down. He's as wealthy as Achashverosh. Unbelievably wealthy, Medrash brings down. He's one of the Shaftim. He's known as the Shafit. He's known as which Shafit it is. It's brought down in Shaftim. He's one of the Shaftim. And he ran away. He ran away because he did not want, you know, get people to run away on Purim, they go to a little place that we've not been bothered by the people coming collecting money. That is, you know, Kminag Avimelech. He didn't want to be bothered by people collecting for tzedakah. Didn't want people bothering him. Therefore, he ran off to Midian. Okay, ran off to Midian. Why did he run off to Midian? Motzon minas minoi. Midian was the epitome of stinginess. How do we see that in the Torah? Ashla kidma etchem alechem of mayim. Did not come out to alechem of mayim. They end up in Midian. Midian, his sons, good Jewish boys, married two Midianite women. Midianite women, the worst you can get. Midian are like people you don't have any shaykhs with. A Midianite man can never marry into Klal Yisrael. They married these two sons, these good two Jewish boys, at such a left Yiddish guy, such a level, that he married two women called Ruth and Orpah, daughters of the Midian king. Fine. Eventually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wipes him out. Avimelech, he gets wiped out, his kids get wiped out, all the panosah is lost, and they're left now penniless. Penniless, and Ruth and Orpah and Naomi are going back to Eretz Yisrael to try and go back to where they're coming from. And Naomi says to Ruth and Orpah, "What do you want from me? You're looking at me for? I don't have more children, I'm too old. Go get yourself a life. Go back to where you're coming from. You come from royalty. Go back, leave me alone." And there's backwards and forwards, and there's tremendous love. The Prophet talked about it in Perek Aleph. There's a tremendous feeling of mutual love between Ruth and Orpah with the mother in law Naomi. And there's crying and there's begging. Naomi, go back, my daughter. Why are you going with me? Do I have more children? Go get yourself a life. He's a kanti, I'm old. And it's back. And it picked up. And they cried. Rashi said it to the extent that the mamish became weakened. They broke down and crying. And Orpah kissed her, Chamoisa, her mother in law, the Rustov Kobo. And Ruth cleaved to her. And Naomi said to her, she's gone back. Go with her. But Ruth, don't push me. Wherever you go, I'll go. The Gemara says in Bamos, it's all the Hilchus Geirus, but you can't be buried, all the different Hilchus Geirus. Bashi to Musi almost where you die, I'll die with Shamekove, Koyas Hashem Niva, Koyasiv, Kemoves, Yafri, Beni, Benech. Because death separates between me and you. Death separates between me and you. So what happened here? What was the crux? What was the final point that separated Rus from Orpah? By the way, Rus, as we see at the end of Rus, her grandchild was David HaMelech, and Orpah, her grandchild was Goliath. Okay? That is what happened in the end, and that's how they split. This one journey, one foot in a different direction, one was David and one was Goliath. Now, Sen Chassam Sefer, what's the gematria of Rus? Gematria of Rus is 606. He said, by the way, 606 was Rus was before she became a Geirus. When she became a Geirus, her name was Rius, or Ruti. Resh Vav Tov Yud. Yeah? Rius. Reus, like friendly. Reus. Right? Reish Yud Vav Tov. The gematria of that is 616. Okay? Now, Naomi is gematria. Nun is 50. Ayin is 70, 120. Mem is 40, 160, 170. Naomi is 170. Ruth is 616. 660 minus 170. 446. Gematria, Moves. Ruth said to Naomi, if I go away from you, if you separate from me, then it's mavis, it's death. If Naomi goes away from Ruth, from Reuth, it's death. What says the Moshe Shvab, Mashkiach of Gates, the old Mashkiach of Gates, what was the difference between Naomi and Ruth? Very simple. Ruth had good intentions, Orpah good intentions. Orpah felt that she was sacrificing in order to become a Yid. And she's willing to. I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm going to sacrifice my life, you know, give over my life to Rebbe Shlomo. That got worn down. Orpah wore her down. No, what do you offer me? Go, and that got worn down. Ruth appreciated that there is no life. There's no life. There's more death if you separate from Orpah, from Naomi. There's no life. Klal Yisrael, when they receive the Torah, they're not sacrificing. They're not breaking their lives in order to become Ovdei Hashem. On the contrary, if we didn't have the Torah, it's poshut death. It's poshut, it's not worth living. It's not worth living. The Gemara says, a fascinating Gemara, the Gemara says that a person is offered to go to an Am Ha'aretz along the way, on a path along the way. Why? Because his life is not a life. So the Gemara, if he doesn't care about his own life, does he care about your life? Question: of course he cares about his own life. Of course he cares about his own life. You see him, the way they eat, and the way these Rishonim drink, and the way they womanize, and the way they spend their money. Of course they have a life. Well, that's not called a life. They're living a good talk, living a good life. Well, that's not a life. The Teretz is, they're not living. Why? They may be looking as if they're enjoying life, but they don't care about themselves. They are so depressed, and they're so empty, and they're so living a life of emptiness, that's absolute suicide. If they don't care about themselves, they care about you. Torah is not about sacrifice. Torah is about connecting with life. Torah is chayim. It's connecting instructions of how to live. If a person doesn't have instructions how to live, you can have every enjoyment, quote unquote, in the world, and it completely can destroy you. Ruth said, Moves beini beinecho. Death separates between me and you. If I don't have the Torah, I'm dead. Therefore, when we're standing up in Shavuos, and we're saying, Rebbeinu Shlomo, we want to receive the Torah, not because Rebbeinu Shlomo, Nebuch, you know, I'm a Yid, I'm born a Yid, if I yes or no, I'm sacrificing for you. I'm doing it for you, Rebbeinu Shlomo. Rebbeinu Shlomo, you know, he says, I don't need it. You know what? Hashem Echad means, I am absolute, I am perfect. It doesn't mean I'm one or not two. It means I'm one and I have no needs. Why you're doing it is for your good. And you've got to appreciate that Kabbalah Satayah, Rebbeinu Shlomo, thank you for allowing us to connect with you. I'm not sacrificing anything. And that's the second misconception of Shavuos is we are sacrificing in order to connect. Oh, but Baruch, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, it's Baruch Hashem, not Baruch Hashem, no, Baruch Hashem, I've got the kliyach to sacrifice. That is not Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is mavis, is separated by Dibbei Nechol. That is what it's all about. That's the second misconception diffused. The third one, is even if Ben Adam Lechaveiroi, that is so, Ben Adam Lechaveiroi, we're certainly sacrificing. Oh, Lechaveiroi, come on. A guy comes to me for a check. And I've given my mind to it. I've given my claimless away, really. I've given that all away. That's gone. School fees, you know, putting away money for the apartment for the kids, an eshrug, you know, shul fees, everything, that's gone. Finished. Now he comes to me and he asks me for a check. You know, he's got daughter to marry off, he's got a child person who's sick, he needs money for yontif. I take a man, open my wallet, and I give him 50 shekel. Wow. You know, I feel Baruch Hashem. You know, I've done something. I've sacrificed. I've given for somebody else. Says the Pasuk like this. The Pasuk says, and later on, Ruth eventually comes, and she goes collecting, it was the time of Seir Chitin, and she starts collecting Leki Shikhon Peo, different fields, and she comes to Boaz's field. And Boaz is very, very good to her. Tremendous tzaddik. Okay? And Boaz says, don't go away, etc., etc. She comes back to Naomi at night. And she's done very well. She's done very, very well. And she comes back and says like this. Batayma lachamesha. So Mamon said to her, Eifa lekata hayoim. Yeah, where do you collect today? So she said, pick base, what's your test? The tagi lechamoisa, and she said over to her mother-in-law, Eis asha osa imoi, what he did for her, Batoimer, and she said, Shemo ish ashe osisi imoi hayoim boyaz. Translate. For ish, Batoimer, Shemo ish, name the man, ashe osisi imoi.
That did with me.
Ashe osisi imoi.
With him.
That I did for him, his name is Boyaz. I did for him. On the contrary, he did for me. Says the Gemara. From here we learn. Yose, mima, shebalabais, oisele oni, oni oisele balabais. Whatever you think that you're giving the oni a favor, the oni is doing you a favor. And therefore, really, says Ruth, he wasn't doing me a favor, I was doing him a favor. Asher, see, imoi, I did him a favor. I did him a favor, I did him the biggest favor, I took Snocker from him, I did him a favor, I felt so good I did him a favor, I took Snocker from him. That is the Gemara. Right? Bobby's been fundraising recently. That is strange. Can you imagine like this? This is a true story. It's a true story. Tana Biyashia. Yes, Mash Babais Isaloni. It's Al Kushmain and Gwal brings down as well. Listen to this, everybody. Can you imagine this? It's a true story. Somebody told me this story. There's a certain kavir in London. And he goes to bed at a regular time. English time, go to bed. 11:30, 12, whatever. 1:30 in the morning. There's somebody ringing at his door. Ring. Okay, he ignores it. Ring, 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 ring. So maybe Chas Hashem, something's happened. You know, who knows? You can't get switched on the phone. Comes downstairs, and there's a Yishalmi guy standing there. Shalom Aleichem! Hi. I just wanted to mezake you. My daughter's getting married in a couple of weeks. Oh, Hashem. And I thought, Binshain in London, already in London, I shouldn't be mezake you, the mitzvah. I know you're a big Baal stalker. What are you mezake you to be helping you marry off my daughter? And therefore, I know it's a little bit late. Baruch Hashem, noch haschus, you know, a little bit late for me as well. And also schlepping around town. You've been living in the house. I've been by foot. I decided, you know what, even if it's 1:30, a mitzvah is a mitzvah. It's going to mezake zayin and give you a mitzvah. So my man said, let me give you details. I'll get back to you. Yeah? Give me a phone number. Let's send the check. Don't come in. I've got mine. Fine. This guy wakes up at 5 o'clock in the morning, goes to Dafayoni. Takes the guy's phone number, rings him back. Rings it back. Ring, 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 ring. Yeah. So he says, I'm around now. You know, I want to be Mazaki you who's fetching the check. You know, because I go to Dafayoni at 5 o'clock. End of the story. That's a true story. I've always said 100% legitimate story. Ruth receives Docker from Boyaz. Very nice. Right? Truthfully, in Sis, coming down, looking down from Shemayim, Ruth did Boyaz a bigger favor than Boyaz did Ruth. But what right does Ruth have to say, you know, I did a guy a favor today? That's not menschlich. You've got to feel, that the person who gave you tzedakah is the most wonderful person in the world. Yet, the Balaam was to say the two parts of the hilchos tzedakah, how the balabos should treat the oni, and how the oni should treat the balabos. The only problem is, the oni learns the part of how a person's supposed to treat him, and balabos learns how he's supposed to treat, the oni's supposed to treat him. Each one has not learned his particular part. The balabas learns how it's supposed to treat the oni. Oni learns how it's supposed to treat the balabais, that's one thing. But the balabais learns the part, how much hakaras toiv the person's got to have, and then how wonderful it is, and mezakeh Torah is more than everything. And the oni learns that, you know, that he's doing yesh malabalabais oisla oni, and if he's all the arrogant, each one learns their part, and that's it. Erechanama, absolutely right. Boyaz did Ruth a favor. But what's he come along saying? Oh, I did a guy a favor today, I took his money. Now, what kind of thing is this? The answer is, Boyaz was so perfect in his chesed. Boyaz was so absolutely, absolutely perfect in his chesed that he was aware to make a person feel so comfortable that poshut, the person felt that they did him a favor. That is absolute chesed. She's not saying, I did him a chesed. She's saying over to Noemi, he is so perfect in his chesed that he made me feel that I'm doing him a chesed. There's a story of the Mshach Zechayin of Racha. There was a certain Gera Chosid in Bnei Brak, whose wife was nifted after many, many years. He's already an older man. And Nebuch, he became so depressed that his wife passed away that he wanted nothing to do with his family. He didn't go out of the house. He didn't allow his family to ring him, to come to him. He didn't want anything to do with them. Completely broke away from his family. He had nothing to do with them. And his children came to Bshach. And he said, now what should we do? So Bshach said, where does he live? Give him an address right across town. Bshach on Erev Shabbos steps right across town. doesn't have a scooter, he doesn't have a car. He walks right across town, goes, steps up this black flight stairs, knocks on the cellar door, fella opens the door, looks at the Godzilla door standing there, Shaka standing there. Okay, he's not going to speak to the keyhole. Okay, he lets him in. So Shaka says to him, listen, I know what you're going through. I'm also an Alman. You know how lonely I am for Shabbos? I've nobody, you know. I've got children, I've got grandchildren, and it's very nice, but I don't know what it means to be an Alman. An Alman is so painful, you know. Do me a favor. I need somebody who can understand what I'm going through to sit with me on Shabbos day. Will you be willing to eat, you know, that we can eat together Shabbos lunch? We can chon together, we can schmooze together. No, you can help me with my thing. I need somebody who understands what I'm... So I said, listen, help the God Lador. Help the God Lador. Fine. And from that time on, he said, for many, many, many weeks, until he felt a lot better, Shach used to come and eat chont in his house. He's eating in Shach's house. And that's how they spent the Shabbos day. Complete stranger. And Baruch Hashem, he got better. And eventually, after he hoped he don't mind, he started eating by my children. You know, I can't do this every week. You know, counsel the God Lador. Maybe even my children maybe don't mind. So I said, say that, I'll find another almond. Okay, don't worry. Yeah, that was unbelievable. The mamish, the person felt his biggest mitzvah of the week is in the zakah, to be mechazik the God Lador. That was the koyach of Boaz. Boaz made Noemi feel so welcome, made Ruth feel so good that she felt that she was doing him a favor. Okay, and that is reality. The reality is that when you do somebody a favor, of course it may feel like now you're sacrificed, now you're giving up. But if you knew, Rachman al Islam, well, that's saving you in Odom Azeh, and that's rewarding you in Odom Abor, you'd run after people who are collecting money. Do me a favor, don't pass me. No, you answer the phone, running to the phone. Oh, there's another stock organization. Okay, again, to an amount that Chas v'Shalom, a person impoverish themselves. But that is the biggest chesed. A person comes to you and he asks you for tzedakah. Baruch Hashem, instead of me running around trying to find stock, you come to me for tzedakah. And therefore, again, even when Odom the Mokoim, and certainly on the Chaveiro, Yosef Mashu Balabais, is on your Yosef Balabais. Therefore, God, you're not sacrificing anything even when Odom the Mokoim. That's number three. Number four, one imagines that in order to become a real Ovid Hashem, I've got to make a ripple effect. I've got to really make unbelievable chesed. The Chazal tell us the reason why you read Rus on Shavuos is all about Torah's Chesed, all about Chesed and Torah's Chesed al Shoyin. Torah is about Chesed. If you look in Rus, Rabbi Yisai, there's nothing very spectacular there. Honestly, there's nothing very spectacular. We're not talking about somebody who started off a Yatsara, yeah, or started off built a hospital and worked. Or built a Betach Lama, or built a Kupashal Stoker, or built any of it, or, you know, a Hatzolo. None of that. You're not talking about a person who's got five bleepers on his thing and is running around doing this chesed and that chesed. That's not the kind of person you're dealing with. What chesed? Look in here, what's going on here? Small, small, significant acts. That's all it is. Boaz, you know, we've got Ruth and Noemi, right? Ruth says to Noemi, Noemi, you're an old lady. I don't want to leave you. I can't leave you. I want to look after you. How does she look after her? Noemi says, you know, I feel a bit embarrassed to go collecting behind Aniyim. Ruth says, don't worry, I'm not embarrassed. Nobody knows me. But Noemi says to her, but you can't do it because you're a princess. So I don't care, I'm a princess. Nobody knows me. I'm willing to go along with all the Aniyim just to save you embarrassment. And she goes along and she collects all the little, the tavur, and she brings it back. And then Boaz looks out for her, and Boaz is kind to her, and Boaz says, go to my field, do me a favor, be with me, take stock of me. All little acts, Rabbi Yisai. They're little acts, there's nothing particularly spectacular here. Bichlal. Look through the thing, you won't find anything wow, that's unbelievable. It's not unbelievable. It's all small acts. Rabbi Yisai, Kabbalah Satayra is not about making huge, massive acts. It's not about doing unbelievable revolutions. In Chesed, revolutions, it's about doing something and doing it perfectly. Doing it perfectly. And that's what Boaz did. Boaz did perfect, perfect chesed to Ruth. That he made her feel mamish as if she was doing him a favor. Ruth did perfect favor to Noemi, didn't leave her alone. Noemi did perfect favor to Ruth, being mekarev her in the correct way afterwards. Everyone did things perfectly. Perfectly. And that was a small chesed done perfectly. The small mitzvah done perfectly, that is Kabbalah Satayra. Kabbalah Satayra is not doing the huge things. That's not to have a name on the wall of a yeshiva. It's very nice, but the smaller act of looking after people when nobody even notices, you know, cleaning up in shul when nobody notices it. They say that who was it? I think the Kotzka. Was it the Kotzka? One of the big rebbes used to lock up the shul on every Yom Kippur. He used to kick everyone out of shul. He used to lock up all the shul on every Yom Kippur. There's a Kotzka on the Bali Musa. I saw who it was. Not sure who it was. So people want to know what's going on. Maybe doing hispedus, maybe he's doing vidui, who knows? One head in the cupboard, Gedalka Makodesh, right? And they found, that Mamash, like, a few hours before Yom Kippur, he's banging in nails. What's he doing? He's got a hammer, takes out of his Bekacher hammer, he's banging in nails. What's he doing? There's little nails sticking up in the Ezes Noshim. We don't come to shul the whole year. Little nails sticking up in the out of the seats in the Ezes Noshim. Right? And these nails, if they get caught on the clothes of the women, they rip the clothes. So you're taking, they're banging all the nails on Erev Yom Kippur, that they shouldn't get the clothes caught in those nails. That is his avoida. That's his avoida. Yeah? Reb Aaron Kotler, on Erev Yom Kippur, an hour before Susan HaSekas, after Mincha, he asked his Talmud to take him down into the middle of town. He says, why, what's the problem? Is it something? No, take me down. Took him in the middle of town. And he went to a flower shop. He comes up to a flower shop. He's got a big bouquet of flowers. What's this? What's going on here? He says, my wife's birthday. My wife's birthday. Got to buy her flowers. You know? And that chesed is much bigger than poshet, you know, the big chesedim. People do all these wonderful things outside the home. They volunteer. And they go and they help women after birth and women before birth and depressed husbands and depressed wives. And you name it. What they're working with, this chesed and that chesed. And, you know, and they're going out and volunteering, changing other babies' nappies. What about your own baby's nappies? Why giving your baby out to a total stranger that you can go out and help other people's strangers? Look after your own child. The difference is, that's not appreciated. Changing your own baby's nappy is not appreciated. So I'll pay somebody else to do that. And I'll change on the open up and wow, what a tzedekah. And she's here a few hours a week, she helps me. You help your own kids, you know? But that chesed is doing what you're supposed to do in an absolute way. The false misconception is you have to make a big effect, it's shtiot. It's rubbish. That's not what it's all about. Finally, the fifth misconception is Torah is all about great people, all about great things. Kabbalah for Torah is all about unbelievable tzedekahs. Now, Beisai, there are two places in the Chola Torah Kula where it says, Vayelech Ish. Vayelech Ish. It says over here in Rush, in the first topic of Rush, Vahibimei Shpoita Shaftin, Vahirob Oret, Vayelech Ish mi Beis Lechem Yehuda. And the Ish went out from Beis Lechem Yehuda. Vayelech Ish mi Beis Lechem Yehuda. Who is this Ish? Who is this anonymous Ish? So the next pasuk, Vishemo Ish Elimelech. By the way, the name of that man is Elimelech. I would have done it very differently. I would have said, Vahibimei Shpoita Shaftin, Rob Oret, Vayelech. Alimelech Mubeis Lechem Yehuda. Vayelech Ish Mubeis Lechem Yehuda. Vayelech Ish, what's an anonymous man? He's heading next prophet, you know. We refer to him as Mr. X, yeah? Well, his real name is Alimelech. You know, what's that all about? Says the Balaturim, there's one other place in the Torah where it says Vayelech Ish. Vayelech Ish Mubeis Levi. Vayelech Ish Mubeis Levi. And a man went out Mubeis Levi. Says the Balaturim, it's the only place it says Vayelech Ish, the Cholotur, anywhere in the Holotanach. Why? Says the Balaturim. Amram is talking about Amram. Yeah, he divorced. He divorced his wife Yecheved, and they got back together again because of Bityah said he was on Pari. They got back together again, etc. Says the Balaturim, what's the idea behind that? So he says, to teach us, that to show us the two places of Geula came from the Yelech Ish. The Geula of Mitzrayim came from this Vayelech Ish by Moshe Rabbeinu. He got back together again and Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And the Vayelech Ish of Elimelech going along, Elimelech going along to Mitzrayim, the whole story happened with Boaz, etc., caused the Geula Shlema of Mashiach to Kenu through David HaMelech. That's also Vayelech Ish. The whole story develops through that. Ad kam divrei Balaturim. What Peshah, what's the connection? Says the Shem HaNatoiv on the Sforim of Balaturim, he says like this. He said, you know what? It happens to be that both times the Geula came from a very, very great man, Amram and Elimelech. It happens to be that it came through the events of great people. But don't think for one second that great people are the only ones who can do great things. Vayelech Ish. You want to know how Geula can come? It can be an anonymous person, a nothing, a nobody, a person non grata. Nobody, you don't even heard about him. No yichus, no, nothing, doesn't exist. And it can be Vayelech Ish. He can be an ish, he can be a totally anonymous, and a ge'ula can come from an ish. It just happens to be, there's Amram, it just happens to be Elimelech. So the Yelech Ish, we're disconnecting it with totally from where he's coming from, who he is, what he was, what family he came from, whether he's a Ger, whether he's a this. It doesn't make so difference for Yelech Ish. It happens to be that the Geula came from them and happens to be from great people. It's nothing to do with one another. We have to know that Gadlus in Klal Yisrael is not based on Yichus. Yichus helps. Gadlus in Torah is not based on Yichus. It's based on the Yelech Ish. It's based on anonymous person, a person himself, an Ish, can become great, can a Geula Shlema, Mashiach Tzidkenu can come from a Yelech Ish, a person doing an act, absolutely, a person doing an act what you should be doing, that from that little act, from, but it's done perfectly, it's absolutely can be the Yelech Ish, Dovid HaMelech can come out from that, Mashiach can come out from that. That's the Yelech Ish. It's nothing to do with his path and where he comes from. That's the Tuba Yelech Ish in the Torah. And therefore, these five misconceptions are clearly shown that Poshet, we're standing number one. The first misconception, Shavuos is all about, it's all about, it's a history. It's not. It's happening now. It's happening now. This fits with one of the Mepharshim say. The Ramah says the reason why I read Rus on Shavuos is because it's all about Geirus. Rus talking about Geirus, and Shavuos are talking about Geirus. And therefore, the reason why I read Rus is to debunk the first misconception. That is not referring to an anniversary. We are going through Geirus on Shavuos. And if we reread the Megillah Shavuos to know how to go through Geirus, how to connect with Geirus, first misconception gone. Second misconception is the idea that we are sacrificing. Says the Chassam Sofer, why do you read Rus? Because Rus is 613. Rus is 606. 606. Right? 606. Why 606? Because Rus, her name is Rus after she was given, because she added on 606 mitzvahs that she never had beforehand. Would it work to 613? Right? That's Rus. What we said is Rus has got to do with Reus, of Moves. That's the second. In other words, the name of Rus, the reason why I read it is because of the name of Rus, to remind us how many mitzvahs are added through Rus. And Rus is Reus, that we described beforehand. That's Moves Mafri Beini Beinecho. That is again the second misconception, that what? That we're sacrificing, it's not. It's modest if we don't have it, not modest if we do. Some people won't quite agree with you. But that's a fact. The facts are, if you have the Torah, we're alive. Without the facts, it's nothing. That's the second misconception. The third misconception was a fact. That it's all about, even if you sacrifice on the Chaveroi. Not true. Wrong. Send the Foshin. Why do you read Megillus Rus on Shavuos? Because it's all about Chesed. It's all about Chesed La'atzmoi. All about chesed, they can do chesed l'atzmo, you can do the absolute chesed. Yeah? That is the third one gone. That's the Yalkut Shemoyni. Lama yitzchah shu goyim lechasodim. What's the yitzchah shu goyim lechasodim? Yitzchah shu goyim lechasodim is, no, the yitzchah shu goyim lechasodim is that you think you're doing them a favor, you yourself are getting a favor. Not the lame to show the wonderful thing of a person sacrificing for somebody else. The maila sachesed. No. Schar shagoyim lechasodim. You think you're giving away, you're not. You're actually taking. Yeah? V'yikchuli truma. What's v'yikchuli truma? V'yikchuli truma. It's not. When you're giving, you're taking. That's the Yalkut Shemoyni. The other Yalkut Shemoyni said, Shemegillah zu kuloi chesed. Different Yalkut Shemoyni. It's all chesed. What's all chesed? What's all chesed about it? Nothing big. The Teretz is, it doesn't have to be big. But long as it's all chesed, long as it's absolute, as long as it's small acts but absolute, done for the right thing, that is what Kabbalah's Torah is all about. Accepting the Torah for the right reasons. For the small acts, but absolute acts, that's what's important. That's Kulei Chesed. And the fifth reason brought down, is Bin Ariel brings down, Liyaches Dovid HaMelech. The reason why you read it on Shavuos is because Yichus Dovid HaMelech. What's Yichus Dovid HaMelech? Dovid HaMelech was born and died on Shavuos. Very nice. You know, so talk Dovid HaMelech, start talking about Midian. Where did Dovid HaMelech come from? He came from Midianite. Ah, Gavali, he came from Rus. What's the idea behind that? He came from Rus. Rus not big Yichus. A Melech can't be somebody who has had a bad past. Why Dovid HaMelech? Why do you connect Dovid HaMelech with Rus? The terrace is to show us that Dovid HaMelech can come from a Rus. A Dovid HaMelech can come from an Ish. It doesn't matter. As long as you are absolutely sincere, you're absolutely clear of what has to be done and you do it, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you come from. You can become great, you can become a leading Klal Yisrael, you can bring Mashiach. And that is the five reasons behind why I read Rus, fits into the five misconceptions, and those five misconceptions are clearly defined by before we read before we read the Kabbalah Torah in upon the Sefer Torah, and Anoich Hashem Lekachol, we focus on Rus and we appreciate that these lessons of going through Geirus, not sacrificing, Bechlal, doing absolutely, we can become great, is what we should be focusing on before we receive the Torah. And Ezra Hashem, with this, we have a Geirus which is unbelievable on our Beisai. What's special about Geirus? Gersh in the sky, Kavim Shneida Domi. A person goes through Geirus as if he's newly born. If we go through Geirus properly on Shavuos, all as if we're newborn. All our Veris disappear. All our Veris disappear. We're a newborn person. We are a newborn Yid. We're totally disconnected with our past. It's an unbelievable position for Siyas Dishmaya. We're not sacrificing anything on Shavuos. Other Rabbah, on Shavuos we have an egg at Tulsa, we have extra food. Everyone agrees on Shavuos you've got to eat. Why? Maybe you shouldn't eat. Maybe you should have a little bit of food. You should be Pas Melech Teichel. No! Other Rabbah, on Shavuos you're not sacrificing. Enjoy yourself, because life in Gashmias is better with the Torah. Life in Gashmias is better with the Torah. Have, eat. Other Rabbah. Even the Pesach and Sukkot, you don't need Lachem. By Shavuos you need Lachem. You're not sacrificing anything. I just want to finish up with one short story. A man told me this in London, that there's a man he knows in America who goes every single week from New York to Canada on business. America to Canada on business. Not very far. Yeah? How far is it? 3 hours, right? And he perfects it. He perfects it every week. He goes, he sleeps, he goes on Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday morning, so he sleeps on Monday, basically soft work, he schluffs and he works, whatever, and he drives over to Canada, he does his buying, he comes back on Tuesday night, and he starts business. Every week he does the same, every two weeks he does the same thing. He perfected years and years of doing the same thing. One year, one week, he's planning his trip, he's been sleeping and he's been working things out, and he's doing everything very well, and then he goes to his car to try his car, he's got a nice car in the driveway, tries the thing, doesn't work. Tries it again, try again, 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 finished. Battery's dead. So he needs to go. He'll be late. So his wife says, don't take my pickup truck. You've got a little one of these, what are they called?
SUVs.
SUVs. Take my SUV, take that, off you go. Fine, he takes the SUV, he takes the car, he drives off. Middle of the night, he got so tired, he couldn't carry on. His eyes were closing, he felt dangerous. He pulled in to a little village, a little village somewhere. And he needs to sleep somewhere. So he goes to the hotel there, he knocks on the door, and the night clerk opens the door. Any vacancies? I'd love to serve, but unfortunately, we're all fully booked. There's a whole group here now. Usually we have loads of room, but it's fully booked. Another hotel? Yes, down the road. He goes to another hotel down the road, fully booked. Well, he's going to sleep in his car. Plus, it's dangerous, it's freezing cold. It doesn't seem very good. Not very good option. Where else is there to sleep? So, well, interestingly, there's an old age home down the street, but they have those little rooms that sometimes they rent out if there's unfortunately vacancies. Yeah, maybe you can go down there. Anyway, he goes down the street, and he goes to this old age home, rings on the bell, and this nurse comes, opens the door, says, I'm very sorry, now I don't mean to check in yet, I've still got a few years, but I maybe have a room for me. Yeah, sure, no problem, got an extra room. Fine, he comes inside, Machai is a good shluch. Morning, he goes there to pay, he davens, he eats, he goes there to pay. And as he's going out, he says, yeah, how's it going this morning? He says, oh, very interesting. Mr. Cohen died this morning. Mr. Cohen? Oh, is he Jewish? Well, his name is Mr. Cohen, isn't it? Well, so when is his funeral going to be? I don't know, maybe he's in the morgue now for 4 or 5 days, and then we'll bury him. So what do you mean, where are you going to bury him? Outside. We're going to bury him outside with our cemetery at the back. It's a one-way journey in this place. And we're going to bury him. But is it a Jewish cemetery? No, not Jewish cemetery. If you go outside, you can see all the Magen Dovids and then all the crosses and all the things. Yeah, so it's very, there's no way you can bury a Jew in his grave. Can you do such a thing? He said, no, I, you know what? I'll deal with this. He said, sir, I'm sorry. The guy's got no children, he's got no family, but he can't just come along and start dealing with this. He said, why? I'll take responsibility. He speaks to his lawyer, speaks to their lawyer, speaks to their lawyer, speaks to his lawyers. He signs a form, he's going to take responsibility, a legal binding form. Fine, he signs. Now he's going to put the body. Just remember, oh, Baruch Hashem's got an SUV. Yeah, I've got a back, I've got my car. I want to fit my two-door little thing. I've got a big thing at the back of the window there. So Baruch sit him up, you know. So Baruch Hashem, I have a car. So he puts, he's got the coffin. There, he gets the coffin. He puts it at the back of the car. Drives back to New York. Says about the business trip the next day. Mamsha Meis Mitzvah. Drives all the way back to New York. Comes to New York, and he goes to the Beis HaKvaros, and the guy says, "Listen. You know, we call ourselves Gemilas Chasodim. Yeah, it's very nice. But a mice at a place here, $10,000. You want to pay $10,000? Fine. You know, we can't just make. You know, so what are you talking about? The Mace Mitzvah. There's a place down the other side of town. That they do Mace Mitzvah. Go there. Maybe sort it out there. Okay. Fine. Goes back in the car. You know, he's feeling tired already. The guy that's back there, he's doing fine. Goes all the way. Drives right across town. He hoots the thing there. Eventually, a guy, an old man, Schlepsach, opens the door. Says, "I've got a Mace Mitzvah. Mace Mitzvah, you come to the perfect place. This is a place for New York Mace Mitzvah. Yeah, come inside." Come inside. Says, "Wow, what an unbelievable thing! What an unbelievable place! A place for Mace Mitzvah. You know? Yeah. Just tell me, by the way, what's this guy's name? His name is Stanley Irvin Cohen." Again, Stanley Irvin Cohen, and his eyes go to the top of the, there's a plaque. This funeral home and Beis HaKvaros has been kindly donated by Mr. Stanley Irvin Cohen in 1954 in memory of his parents. This man had donated this 50 years earlier. 50 years earlier he had donated this Beis HaKvaros for Mace Mitzvah. He said, "You have no idea what choshuva people are buried here, how many people are buried here because of this man's chus." This old man made phone calls. There was a huge, huge turnout by his avaya. Huge. Choshuva to Tzimelech HaChomim. Choshuva Rosh Hashivas. Choshuva Chesivas Haredus. Choshuva people. They all came to this avaya of this man who was Moshe Nefesh, who gave over a lot of money in the old times, in times of depression, for the sake of Mesa Mitzvah. And he got buried in the most choshuva place in that Beis HaKvaros, something that he'd paid for 50 years earlier. And this man had to punct everything else, Hashkocha Protis, that he should get paid back. This man sacrificed. And then he thought, "I'm a sacrifice. I'm a wealthy man. I'm going to get married. I'm going to have kids. I'm not going to be buried in this place. I'm fine." No. He did. He had lost his money, and he got buried sacrificing. He had a Choshev Beis HaKvaros. He got a Choshev place in this world and a Choshev place in the next world. We're not sacrificing anything. Nothing. It may look like it. It's all a facade. It's all stuff. We are lucky, Ashreinu Matzev Chokeinu, that we have a Torah guide us in this world, helps us in the next world, and it should be zeicher to Kabbalah Satorah with love and devekus to Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the most unbelievable simcha we should have. We should have it igzat also. We should be celebrating begashmius that we have ruchnius that guides us all.